Bible friends, it's the Word of God, and for those that you can't come to saving, loving knowledge of the God who made you, gave you your being, sustained your life, holds your very next breath in the palm of His hand, the God who in loving kindness sent His Son Jesus into the world and to Him that you might be saved. Time cannot to waken up from your slumber of death and go to Christ, and He'll give you light and life and liberty and love. The love of God, which the Bible describes as passing knowledge, to be found, the evidence, friends, here in God's Word. All that you need. Some people, of course, they ask for signs, they ask for evidence, but God, He says that it's an adulterous and evil generation that seeks a sign. You don't need evidence, you don't need signs. Friends, you know that God is just the same as I do, we all do, every single one of us. Plain to you, it's been shown to you, you understand it, but you suppress the truth like all men in unrighteousness. And friends, in order to come out of the wrong side of God, His displeasure, well, you need the Bible, you need its information, its instruction. It's able to make the simple wise, it's able to convert people, convince and convert and bring them to a knowledge of God's love, His kindness, compassion, His mercy, His grace revealed in His Son Jesus Christ. But this is the record, the testimony, God's record, God's testimony, New Testament in its entirety offered to you, free of charge, without any cost or any obligation to you. You'd like to have one, you feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place one into your hands. But in the Bible, God says, you know, there are some things that you need to know, things that you need to believe, and things that you need to do before you die. So important, friends. Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and just as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. It's important before you breathe your last, before you go out of this world. You don't want to go out this world the way you came in. The Bible says you came into the world. You came from your mother's womb. You were conceived, you were born in sin, and you remain that way unless there's been that turning point. Unless you turn, Jesus says, and become like children, that is, you know, childlike, simple, trusting, reliance upon what God has promised in His Word. It's the two options that's open to you. You know, a naked faith, trust, reliance upon what God has promised in His Word, or facing, you know, demoralization and defeat, you know. But you don't have to live that way, you know, in demoralization and defeat. Many, many people are in the world today, you know, in society here in Staffordshire, demoralized, defeated, overcome by sin, and bondage to it, and chains to it. But you don't have to live that way, and you certainly don't have to, well, you don't want to die that way. No, there needs to be a change before that happens. Things that you need to know, that you need to believe, and that you need to do before you die, because you see, as the Bible says here, the reality of death is inescapable, and the reality of God's judgment is inevitable too. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. Some people, they say, they argue, their unbelief, you know, they say, well, Nobody knows. Nobody ever came back to tell us, you know, what happens after death. Yes, they did. Jesus did. And he tells us clearly, plainly here in his word that after that then comes judgment. So you see, friends, it's inevitable and death is inescapable. It comes to all men. It comes to all men because it's appointed by God. You know, so, you know, you don't like the hairdresser's appointment, like the doctor's appointment, or, you know, many other appointments that you might make in this world. You can pick the phone up and cancel them, postpone them, put them off to a later date. But this appointment you've got with death, you see, friends, there's a decade, there's a year, there's a month, there's a week, there's a day, there's an hour, even a moment marked in God's calendar when you yourself will die. You'll go out of this world. And how you go out of it is ultimately so very, very important. But friends, you can't escape it. Comes to us all, you know. Children of the dust, and to dust we return, God says. And then after that, then comes the judgment. So you see, death is inescapable. And the reality of judgment, that's inevitable. Death, you see, when it comes to you, it will take you out of this world, and then it will leave you. It will leave you before God, before a sin-hating and holy God who will deal with you and will dispatch you according to what you've done or not done with His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But this is the condemnation, says God, that you have not believed in the name of God's only Son. That's the condemnation. It's not that I condemn you, I'm not here for that. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn, I came to save. He doesn't have to condemn, neither do I, because we're all, you know, born under condemnation. Condemnation of our unbelief, of our sin, because we're born in sin, conceived in sin, says God. Sinful natures we come into this world with, and so we quite naturally, quite inevitably, we sin. We transgress the law of God. That's what sin is, breaking God's law. But of course, well, you can't do any other. You can't keep God's law. You can't be subject to God's law. It's impossible because of that sinful nature. The mind is hostile to God. The sinful mind, you see, the sinful nature is hostile to God. Can't be any other. So you see, that much more is what you need to be saved from. You see, and the only path, the only way back to God from sin's path is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. So friends, things that you need to know, believe and do before you die, you must need to know God. Knowing God, knowing His Son, Jesus Christ, that is eternal life, Jesus tells us. To know God is your Creator, the one who made the universe in which you live. In 6 literal days, 24-hour periods, He spoke it into being. No, you're not some piece of chemical fizz, you know, that crawled out of some primordial sludge. No, evolution, friends, no basis, no scientific basis, no intelligent justification for it, none whatsoever. No, friends, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created you. He is your maker. He is the one who gave you your being, gave you your life. He is the one who provides for you. He is the sustainer of the universe and of human life and of all His creatures in all creation. You need to know God as your Creator. And you need to know Him as your lawgiver, because He's the one, because He created you, has a rightful sovereign claim over you, a right to demand of you how you should live and how you should conduct yourself in His creation, in His world. And God, you see, has given us His commandments. His law is summed up, you see, in those 10 commandments that you find in the Bible. You shall have no other gods before me. Now here's the thing, that's just the first commandment. And if you haven't obeyed that commandment, love God, that is, with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, with all of your being, all of your days, every hour, every moment, perfectly, inwardly and outwardly. Now that makes you a breaker of just the first commandment. And the Bible says if you've broken one, then you've broken them all. Every single one of them. So you see, to a man, to a woman, covenant breakers, law breakers, God, you see, you must come to know God as your creator, as your lawgiver, and as your judge, the one who one day will bring you to judgment. Bible says, again I repeat, just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. And of course in that day, when you stand before God, it will not be with some, you know, great surprise. Oh, I didn't know that you were. I thought I evolved. I thought evolution was true. I didn't know you existed. No, it won't be like that at all. You'll stand before the God that you knew existed all along, but you suppressed the truth in unrighteousness and wickedness. You refused to submit, to surrender to the one whom you knew right from the very beginning of your life. Because when a child is born, before it knows anything, it knows that God is. But you suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You hold down that truth, you see. And of course, you live in self-deceit. That's what it's called, you know. And like the proverbial ostrich, you know, with its head in the sand, you know, pretending that nobody can see it. Well, friends, you know that God is. You know the true and living God. I don't mean the God of the cults. I don't mean the God of your world religions. I mean the true and living God, the one who created all things, who gave you your being, who is your lawgiver, a rightful demand upon your life, your time, everything about you, and the one who will one day bring you to judgment. And here's the thing, you'll not stand before God, you know, saying, well, it would be better if I were judged by my peers. Because one of your peers, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, will be sat at the right hand of God, and He will be the one who will be judging you. The one who lived as a man, a perfect life, lived and loved and died on a cross, shed His precious blood in order that you might be forgiven and that you might escape the judgment of God. But rest assured, friends, we are all of us naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You'll give account to God. You live in a day and generation, of course, when people think, you know, that they can sin with impunity. They can do as they please, answerable to no one. You know, government, magistrates, police, parents, schoolmasters, and so it goes on. You know, they can do as they please. They're their own masters, masters of their own destinies. No, you're not. God will bring you to judgment, just as it is appointed for man to die once. After that comes the judgment, accountability. God will judge you in perfect righteousness. So you see, friends, the importance, you know, of getting out of your sin, getting out of your sinful nature, because that's no easy thing, you know. To become a Christian, a follower of God's Lamb, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. You think that's an easy, a light thing? Oh, it's very easy to become religious. Anybody can do that. You just go to the synagogue, the mosque, the temple. You know, you can do that, you know. You do that even without, you know, these things. You know, you don't need God's help. You don't need my help to become religious. Anybody can do that, but become a follower of Jesus Christ, become a disciple of Jesus Christ, to get out of your sin nature, the nature in which you were born, to get out of that. You think that's an easy, that's a light matter. You think all you got to do is say, I believe. No, friends, it's not that easy, believe me. No, you gotta seek the Lord while He may be found. You gotta seek Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You gotta cry out to Him. You gotta plead with Him. You gotta get out of your sinful nature. That takes a miracle. That's not something you can do. That's not something you can do yourself. He came to His own, Jesus that is. And His own did not receive Him, but to as many as did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right, the authority to become children of God, who are born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. It has to be of God, you see. A supernatural, miraculous work of God. Circumcising your heart, you see. Taking the heart of stone out of you and giving you a heart of flesh. Only God can do that for you. Only the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who came into the world, died and rose again in order that you indeed might be born again. That your nature might be changed. That your heart might be changed. Here's the thing, friends. Nobody ever loved God. Nobody ever desired God. Nobody ever desired heaven. Nobody ever desired the Word of God until they were born again. But Jesus says, you must be. You must be. You're not ready to die, you see. For I say to you, things that you must know, things that you must believe, and things that you must do before you die, because, well, then it's too late. After that, all you've got's the judgment. After that, there's no second chances. There's no place called purgatory, as the Pope crowd would tell you. There's no such a place. No mention of it in the Bible. Simply and only heaven or hell, two destinations. Which will it be for you? It's appointed for you to die once, and then after that comes judgment, God says. So you see, friends, so important. You get out of that bad nature. You get out of that wrong nature. You get out of that sin nature. And that you get born again, you know? That you seek God until you find Him. Until you know that you've been forgiven. Because that's the heart of the gospel, you see. The forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness with God. That He may be feared. That He may be respected, you see, by you. Instead of neglected, instead of hated by you. You see, you're one of two things, friends. You're either a natural born God hater or a supernaturally reborn God lover. But no one ever loved God until they were born again. And shaking the head, sir, that doesn't do anything at all. That doesn't change the truth about your sin, its nature, and where you're going, and how you're going to stand before God in judgment day. Maybe God will shake His head at you then, you know, and then cast you into hell forever. So you see, friends, it's important. See what I mean? It's important that you know God. And I don't mean just, you know, intellectually, you know, reading a book or something, you know, hearing about some religion. I mean, you need to know Him, like, intimately, relationally. But the trouble is, you see, you got this relationship going with sin. You love the stuff, you know? That's why you're about it all the time, you know? You sin from morning to night, beginning of life to the end of your life, because you love the sin. Well, says God, you got to break that relationship off. The relationship with sin, you got to get out of it. You know how to break relationships up nowadays, don't you? You don't do the marriage anymore. You just do the fornicating, you know? Partners, you call them. And of course, you get fed up with one partner. Well, you get rid. You get another one. Get a bit of fresh, you say, you know? Well, says God, you know, in the same way, you got to get rid. You got to break that relationship off with sin, and you got to get into a lasting, an everlasting relationship with God in love. So knowing God, you see, experientially, knowing God by experience, I mean, knowing Him lovingly, intimately, in relationship with Him, you see? Difference between religion and Christianity. Christianity, the gospel, you see, is about a relationship with God, not religion. A man went past a few moments ago, I offered him a gospel leaflet. He said to me, "No, thank you, I'm not religious." I said to him, "Neither am I." Religion and Christianity are two different things altogether, not to be confused. So you need to, before you die, this is we're talking about, because just as it is appointed for a man to die once, after that comes judgment, things that you need to know, that you need to believe, and that you need to do before you die. You need to know God is your creator, the one who gave you your being, as your lawgiver, who has given you His commandments, and the one who will one day bring you to judgment. And friends, if the one at His right hand, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for sinners, who died for the ungodly, if He's not your advocate in that day, if He doesn't defend you at the judgment throne of God, you're lost for all eternity. No way back, no second chances, no purgatory, heaven or hell, one of the two. And if Jesus didn't pay your debt, if He didn't pay for your sins, then you got to pay yourself. Every last farthing, says God, in hell, in the damnation of hell forever. So friends, and there's something else that you need to know, and that's about yourself. About yourself, that you got a bad heart, and you've got a bad record. And you've got a bad record because you got a bad heart, you see? The one comes from the other, cause and effect. The cause of the bad record is the bad heart, born conceived in sin, a sinful nature, unless the heart's changed. And again, only God can do that for you. Only He can change a man or a woman's heart. Miracle of God again, the new birth. You must be born again. But you see, it's out of that cesspit of the heart, you know? The most respectable of you, those of you who say to me that you're a good person and you ought to go to heaven when you die. Really? Friends, we've all of us, without exception, we've all of us got bad hearts. We're born with them. Hearts that are deceitful, says God, and desperately wicked. Can't even know the depth of your own sin and depravity lest God reveals it to you. Now friends, all of us bad hearts, there's none good, says God, no, not even one. So you see friends, you need to know this, you know, these are things that you should already know, you know, as adults, you ought to know, you know, but here you are today in dear old England, you know, that once knew the gospel, you know, that once teamed with the gospel, teamed with gospel churches and gospel preachers, but now England's glory has departed. Now you're even adults and grandparents even that don't know even the ABCs of the gospel, never mind the deep mysteries of God. So here you are in total ignorance. You don't know nothing. You don't know what you are yourself. You don't know your own state and condition. You don't know that you're a deceitful-hearted, wicked sinner before God. You go about all the day thinking you're okay, thinking that you're good to go, thinking that, you know, God couldn't possibly have anything against you because you're a good person. No, you're not. But you need to know this. And you need to believe it also, that you've got a bad heart, and it's from that bad heart that comes your bad record. Your record of sinning against God, the idolatry, the blasphemy, the fornication, the deceitfulness, the lies, the gossip, the hatred, the unforgiveness, the violence, some of you, drug addiction, and many, many other addictions to all kinds of lust. You've got a bad record. You got a record against you. Unless it's taken and nailed to the cross of the Son of God, you've got to answer for that bad record. You know, you're going to stand before God, and then God be not deceiving him then. Or you might deceive the judge, the human judge. Or you might deceive the magistrate. You might deceive, you know, the lawyer man. You might deceive your parents. You might deceive your husband, your wife. You know, you might pretend. You might live outwardly, you know, in the eyes of all men. Oh, you're good. You're good. You're a nice person. You know, I like you. I accept you, so you must be good. No, friends. No, friends. There'll be no deceiving God. God sees the heart. God sees the heart, he sees your thoughts, he sees your motives, he sees your intentions. He knows everything about you from the inside out. He's got your record. You've got a conscience, friends, and it keeps a diary every day, every hour. And one day that conscience, the book of your conscience, is going to be opened up before God. And all shall be revealed, your every thought, your every word, every careless word that you spoke, you will give account for, Jesus says. Every word, every thought, and every deed, all recorded, all brought into the open, exposed, friends, to the judgment of Almighty God. It's appointed for man to die once, and after this, then comes the judgment. Friends, and here's the thing, totally and completely impotent. One thing the cross of Jesus Christ declares is this, friends, that your man is absolutely powerless to do anything to save himself. Nothing that you can contribute, nothing that you can offer to God in the way of a sacrifice that would be pleasing to God. I mean, what could you possibly offer? Eh? Your money, your time? I don't know. What do you think? Here's the thing, friends. If you're a sinner by nature and God says you are, then that means that all you are is just a lump of walking, breathing, talking sin. So therefore, everything and anything that you would offer to God is tainted with sin. And so therefore, unacceptable to God. You've got nothing to offer to Him. The cross of Jesus Christ declares all men to be sinners, lost before God, sinners by nature and by choice. And friends, declares you also to be utterly and absolutely impotent, powerless to do anything to save yourself. Why the Son of God had to come into the world? Why had to live and love and die on a Roman cross, shed His precious blood, and rise again from the dead so that you could be saved, to give you new life, to justify you, to make you right with God? There was no other way that it could be done. And if you think you can bypass Jesus, the Son of God, and His work on the cross, then friends, you are most seriously deluded. So that's why I say you need to know these things, believe these things before you die, because it's too late. After that, it's too late. You need to know the gospel, you see. You need to know the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, the unique person of Jesus. We said of Him, you will call His name Jesus. Why? Because He will save His people from their sins. He's the appointed, He is the anointed Savior of God, authorized by God, no other is. Not your Muhammad's, not your Allah's, not your Buddhas, not your Confucius, not your Popes. Absolutely no one else with the authority to save, with the power to save, but the Son of God, Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It's this, friends. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. Rose again after the third day for sinners. Just as the Old Testament of the Bible said He would. So He did. Accomplished everything given to Him. But friends, here's the thing. It was Christ. It was Christ who died on the Roman cross some 2,000 years ago for sinners like you and I, so that we might be freed from the judgment of God, so that we might be cleared in the court of heaven, and so that we might be assured of a home one day in heaven. But friends, it was Christ who died. some 2,000 years ago on the Roman cross. You say thousands of men died on Roman crosses 2,000 years ago. Sure they did, but only one who was the Son of God and proved to be so by the power of His resurrection from the dead. Only one, friend. Only one who was appointed of God, anointed of God, given the authority to lay down His life and take it again. Only one who is given that authority, that power, and His name is Jesus. The unique person of the Son of God. You need to come to know Him. Because to know Him and know God, that is eternal life. And you can only get eternal life through Him, in His name, through His person. He's the only Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, He says, but by Me. Neither is there anyone else under heaven, no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we can be saved. Only that name, only that person, only Jesus, only the Son of God. And of course you need to come to know and to believe, of course, in the unique work of Jesus. His obedience, you see. His obedience in place of your imperfect obedience. Or rather, should I say, your disobedience. He's the only one who obeyed the law of God fully and perfectly. God's spotless Lamb. He who came for this purpose to live that blameless life which He did. That qualified Him to go to the cross to be a Savior. To pay the penalty for people like you and I. But here's the thing, friends. Jesus, He was obedient even to the point of death. He suffered the death of the cross. He paid the penalty, you see, that was due to you, that was due to me, that was due to the sinner. The wages of sin is death, you see. Well, Jesus, He paid sin's wages. Well, He paid them for me. I know that because I believe in His name. But of course, if you don't, you reject, you see, His sin offering, you reject His sacrifice, well then, friends, you got to pay the debt yourself. You got to pay it in full, says God. But Jesus, you see, He's God's Lamb. Prophet Moses says in the Old Testament that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. But God, you see, Himself has provided the blood sacrifice necessary. His own Son is called in the New Testament the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, the unique work of Jesus, the Son of God, His obedience to God's law, His paying the penalty of God's law. Obedient to the point of death, shedding His precious blood that you might be washed and made clean. The stain of your sin washed away in His own blood. Washed and made clean and fit for God. Fit for purpose, fit for life, and fit for heaven. But without the covering of His blood, without the forgiveness of Jesus, without His atoning blood, well, you're left in your own. Pay the price yourself in full. Friends, you need to know these things before you die, because afterwards it's too late. Then, of course, the unique Lordship of Jesus Christ, because He's alive, you see. He's alive, He's able to save to the uttermost, the Bible says. Those, that is, who draw near to God through Him, since because He always lives to intercede for them. Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius, not the Pope. Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because He conquered sin and death and hell. And because He's alive and alive forevermore. See, friends, it's a living Savior. It's a living Savior you need, not a dead prophet or a dead religion. A living Savior, one who lives forevermore. And the one who is Lord and God, appointed Savior, appointed ruler, lordship of Jesus Christ, submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. One thing to see that you believe in Christ. One thing to see that you are a Christian, but here's the question, here's the proof of the matter. Do you live in obedience to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Do you do what He tells you to do? Do you do what the Bible says you ought to do? Because He says, in that day there will be people who will come to them, and some of them doubtless will have Bibles in their hands. I'll say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Question isn't so much, do you know Him? You need to know Him. Question is, does He know you? In love, in reconciliation, in forgiveness, as His obedient child. Friends, it's not evidence you need. It's not a sign that you need. It's a white flag of surrender to the God that you know is the true and living God, the one who made you, the one who is your lawgiver, the one who is your judge, who will be your judge, to submit to Him, Jesus Christ. There is no other God but Him. And friends, it's before Him that one day you'll stand and give account. So what must you do? What must you do? What's left for you to do? Well, this is the work of God, Jesus says, that you should believe on the one whom God has sent into the world to be the Savior of the world, that is. Faith, you see, friends, that's your business. Faith, believing. But of course, you cannot repent, you cannot believe, you cannot be born again of yourself, because these are works and gifts of God. Nobody ever believed of themselves. You might as well try pull yourself up by your bootlaces as try to believe yourself or repent yourself. These, you see, are gifts from God. So you say, well, why does God command such if I cannot do such myself? In order to bring you to that place of seeing and knowing that you cannot do it yourself, that you're impotent without God's help. And to bring you to that place, you see, of seeking God, crying out to Him. While you still have the breath of life in you, while you yet have the opportunity before you die. These are things that you must know, believe, and do before you die, while you've got the breath of life in you. So what do you do? Well, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me, says God. But you don't seek God. None who seek God, only by God's grace. Only by His imparted grace will you ever be caused to seek after Him. But He says that for those who do seek Him, He's a diligent rewarder of such. He says that, you know, that if you seek Him with all of your heart, you'll find Him. Seek and you shall find, knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Ask, seek, and knock, Jesus says. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. He will have compassion, show mercy, abundantly pardon. Forgiveness, you see, a way back to God, provided by God Himself. God's way, not yours. God's provision. Not anything that you yourself can provide. Only God's way. And that, my friends, brings me back to the Bible that I offered to you to begin with. Because, you see, that's the only testimony, that's the only record that you've got. God's indictment of the entire human race is that all men are liars. So therefore, outside of God's Word, the Bible, that is, there is no truth, none whatsoever. So you see, friends, it's to the Bible that you must go. That will lead you rightly. That will instruct you correctly. That will give you the information that you need, you see. in order to come to a knowledge of God as your creator, as your lawgiver, as your judge, and of course to bring you to a right knowledge of yourself, your sinful being, your bad heart and your bad record, and bring you to a knowledge of the gospel, the person and work of Jesus Christ, without which you cannot be saved. And hopefully to that place of coming to a reliance, you see, upon Jesus and what he has done. His life, his atoning death, his righteousness, relying completely upon him and what he did. Because anything that you do or seek to do is of no avail before a righteous and holy God who demands utter righteousness. So, things I say that you must do, things that you must believe, and things that you must know before you die. Because after that, it's too late. There's no way back to God then. Friends, after that, then comes judgment. So, I urge you, I implore you, be reconciled to God. Seek God while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, and he comes near to you in the proclamation of the gospel. An unfeigned offer of salvation is made to you in the proclamation of the gospel. For to receive the gift of God, you see, God gives us the victory over sin and death by his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's reception of him in faith, you see. It's that that leads to salvation. The hand of faith reached out and receiving the gift of God. But of course, only by the grace of God can such happen. I pray for you that God would indeed impart that grace to you, that he would awaken you out of your slumber of death, and that you would go to Jesus Christ, and that he would give you light and life and love and liberty, salvation even, eternal life, in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So, leave you with the first recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament. Repent, he says, and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why. And you can't enter into it without repentance and faith. So repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, Canuck. Repent and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. Read for yourself. See that these things are so. It's offered to you free of charge, without any cost, without any obligation to you. You'd like to have one, you feel free to come.